June is Pride Month, and I couldn't let the month go by without having a conversation about the queer experience on the border. So today my guest is Gustavo Reveles. Welcome to State of the Arts. How are you, Goose?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I know you don't speak for all gay people, but we got to have the conversation. So I figured, you know what? I know that you have had this conversation many, many times. I remember you took CNN kind of across the border and showed them that queer experience.
It wasn't CNN, actually. It was Logo News, back when Logo had a news channel, which was in cooperation with CNN. And this was back in my reporting days when I was a reporter for the El Paso Times. And I'd met this reporter at a national conference for Hispanic journalists and called me up and said, hey, I'm going to be on the border. I'm doing a documentary style story on being gay on the border and the duality of living on the border and the El Paso Juarez experience, and just wanted some tips. So, you know, spoke a little bit with him. And after a while, I spoke to my editor. My editor's like, take the day, go with him, like, you know, show him around. And this is before the drug violence really took off. So we spent the whole day just kind of going back and forth on the border and really talking to a lot of people, a lot of folks on both sides of the border. And had a great time, great conversations, and really delved into topics that were familiar to me, but also had a great approach on things that I didn't understand about being on the border. You know, one of them is being out on one side of the border, but being closeted on the other, you know, and never really thought about that myself until we had these conversations. There's a lot of people, and I know this from you know, being at the bars, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people know that the gay bars are really our community centers. I know it sounds a little strange, but those are our gathering places, and that's a place of community for the LGBTQ community.
The gayborhood.
The gayborhood, yeah. The Pride Square, the gayborhood. Every town has one. Every town of a certain size has one, and ours, fortunately, does as well. You know, it's a place where everyone's welcome. You and I have been there many times. But it is a place for the queer community to come together and sort of be at peace with one another and be comfortable with one another and just be. So we do see a lot of people from across the border here on the weekends partying with us and having a drink with us and talking to us, and never realize that for a lot of them, that's their only outlet. You know, they're there for whatever reason, societal or family or whatever it is, they're not out on the Juarez side of the border, but they're out on this side and they're able to live the life that they really want to live.
Do you think that still rings true even today? Because it seems like it's more normalized, it's more out. I mean, my mom, for example, you know, my grandma made dresses in downtown Juarez, and her friend Pascual was always there. He did all the flowers. And he was a gay man, but it was just this unspoken thing. He just happened to be working in the dress, you know, kind of industry.
That was right. Like, that was the way you were out, right?
Yes.
Out, it wasn't spoken about. People just kind of knew. And I grew up, I mean, I'm a true border person. I was born in El Paso, but was raised in Juarez. And grew up with family that's very traditional of the border. And knowing full well that my father's brother was a gay man, mm-hmm. It was no secret, but he was not out. We just knew about it. And my family was very like, oh, you know, yes, he is. But we don't talk about it. It was kind of thing. So growing up myself gay and knowing that sort of reality was kind of strange. But at the same time, it was, you know, you do feel the change of times. And I never really had that horrible story of being ostracized or anything like that. I'm very thankful for that. And I know that my reality is not the norm. My reality is not what most people go through. So I appreciate that. And I also celebrate the people that had to struggle to come out and had to endure a lot of oppression, knowing full well that wasn't my reality, but knowing that that's theirs and that's the norm. Unfortunately, still.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, well, what do you think about now? I mean, it seems to me anyway that like now, like we're the parents and there's a lot of queer kids and they kind of have license to be free.
Well, it's funny, you know, I was talking to someone who was were talking about this one movie. It was a teen movie that portrayed a gay character. And they portrayed it as like this lonely teenage high schooler or the only gay guy in school and scared to come out. And he says he was watching it with his teenage daughter. And the daughter's like, what are they talking about? Like, there's like five kids I know who are gay. And
it ain't a thing.
Kind of like that. It's like, it's refreshing, right? To know that, like, it's, yes, it's still, it's a struggle for a lot of kids.
I'm sure, yeah.
But it's becoming more of a norm. And that's a good thing. That's heartening, you know, and it's kids are more and more celebrating those differences. And working for a school district, I can tell you firsthand how it's not just in our sexual identity and gender identity where kids are being more accepting, but we were just, you know, working graduations right now. And you know, there's a lot of students in special education who are graduating and they get the biggest cheer from the classes, from the students, you know. And I turned to someone and I told them, you know what? Kids today, you know, they get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. But they're, in a lot of ways, they're so much better than we were because we were horrible to these students. We were horrible to queer kids. We were horrible to the otherness. And kids nowadays, they just embrace. They do embrace, you know, so that's really encouraging. It's really encouraging.
So what do you think it is? I mean, it's this evolutionary thing, right? So now you have parents dealing with kids that are non-binary or trans. And it's like, well, this wasn't a thing when I was young, right? But maybe it was and we just didn't talk about it, like the other stuff. I don't know. What's your take on it?
That's exactly right. I think it was a thing. We just didn't talk about it, right? It was so out of the norm. And I mean, just even being gay now is so like the first foray into these queerness, right? I mean, there's so much more than being either a gay man or a lesbian, and kids now identify in so many other ways. And all those ways are valid and all those ways have been there for a while. And these kids are now finding ways to really voice their inner feelings in ways that we either didn't know how to do or weren't brave enough to do it.
Right. Yeah.
We got to celebrate that. We do. And it takes a while to embrace that, but we're getting there. You know, we're getting there. And you know, what I tell people whenever especially when it comes to issues of gender identity, I tell them, like, it's not for you to get, it's for you to just accept and move on. You know, it's their gender identity is their gender identity. It's not your problem. It's not your issue. It's their identity, not yours.
Right. Because, I mean, we've had an interesting month, right? With Black Lives Matter, with COVID, with all sorts of stuff. And really, it's like, just be open to the fact that people have other experiences other than your own. And if we can get there, I think, you know, the world opens up.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that you don't ask questions.
Sure.
You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who had a forum and he's heterosexual, who's like, well, you know, I want to make sure I don't say the wrong things. I'm like, well, that's good. That's the first step. You know, that's a good thing. But, you know, people in the queer community also realize that this is something that a lot of people don't know. Ask us questions. I don't mind answering questions. And I'm sure someone who's transgender, someone who is non-binary, as long as you approach it in a way that's respectful and in with a true emphasis and trying to understand, asking questions is not, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if you don't understand something, ask. That's how you learn, you know?
Right. And I think, like, you're probably waiting for somebody to ask you the question, right? Because it's not like you're going to walk into a room and, hey, I'm Gustavo and I'm gay, like that. I mean, I kind of get the memo, you know, just because you are who you are, but... You know what I mean?
Sometimes I take it for granted that people don't know. You know, I've lived openly for so long, but there's people who don't know, and I forget. I forget people don't know, and then I see their eyes kind of open up. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Right.
But that's fine. That's fine. You know, like now you do. And like I said, I've been so fortunate to have been to experience nothing but acceptance and understanding from my family, from my coworkers, from my friends, obviously. And I really do chalk it up to living in a community like this one that is so embracing and so full of just wanting to let people be, you know, and let people live their lives. You know, and we're talking about that time these reporters came in from New York City. They asked me, like, oh, well, you know, what is it like being gay in El Paso? And it's like, well, you know, if you're looking for the biggest pride parade and the, you know, all this other stuff that you might see in LA or New York or London, you're not going to find it. But at the same time, you're going to find a community that's thriving, a community that knows what it is, and a community that embraces its otherness. You know, mm-hmm. I think as El Pasoans, and as a proud El Pasoan myself, we tend to have a chip on our shoulder sometimes because of how slighted we've been throughout history.
Sure.
And because of that, we don't let anyone talk us down, no matter what we are. If we're right. Black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, whatever it is, we're going to stick up to each other. And then we'll deal eternally with each other, of course. But, right. but you know, it's been, you know, I find El Paso to be an accepting place and a place that really just embraces you for being an El Pasoan first and then everything else later on.
So we know, despite the fact that the queer community has come a long way, there's still folks out there that are struggling with their sexuality, that are, you know, maybe having a hard time coming to terms. What do you say to somebody like that?
It's interesting because, I mean, coming out is such a personal journey. And you got to come out at a time when it's safe for you, right? I mean, it's easy to someone, even in the gay community, say, like, come on, just come out. You know, come out of the closet, do it. Like, well, hold on a second. You know, everybody's journey is different. And it's not just internal. It's also external. Are they safe? Do they have a place to go? Do they have the financial backing to really survive? I mean, these are all issues that come about when you come out. If you're not sure, or maybe you're sure that you're not going to have the emotional and financial support of your family at that specific time, it may not be the right time for you to come out, you know? So find an outlet that will give you that avenue to have some support at that time, and then work toward having that final goal of being in a place where you can come out, live your life, and do what you need to do, whether it's spiritual, financial, societal, whatever it is that's holding you back, and you can do it at that time, work toward that goal. Like I said, I think there's tons and tons of resources. There's tons of you know, what we call our family here. You know, there's you know, special among the little bit older gays like me. when someone asks if someone is gay, they don't ask, are they gay? They just like, hey, are they family? You know, that means, are they gay? You know, and that comes because this, you know, this is part of a family here. And I love that. So there's always someone there that's going to support you and guide you. I know my core group of friends, gay and straight, are you know, part of my family, and I count on them to support me on all this. And thankfully, my blood family is also very much part of that. And I know how lucky I am to have both of those sets of families supporting me.
Well, Gustavo, thank you so much for sharing your queer experience. I'm glad we were able to get this conversation in while we're still in Pride Month. But hopefully we could just keep having it anyway, because, you know, there's a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, it's always Pride. Let's go out and have a drink and party it up.
It's on. Thank you. Today, my guest has been Gustavo Reveles. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.